Let's open our Bibles. Open our Bibles to, if you have them, not just listen. I'm only reading a few verses of Scripture. In John in chapter 11. I have my reading glasses, so I might as well put them on rather than squint with reading glasses in my pocket. Gospel of John, chapter 11, and the first seven verses. Word of God says, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.' When he heard this, Jesus said, 'This sickness will not end in death.'" No. Everybody say no.
No.
"It is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was two more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." Lord, thank you for your presence here. Thank you that we're already hearing your word. We're already hearing your voice. You're speaking to us, Lord God, in song, in dreams and visions and prophetic word, Lord God. Lord, please now in the preaching of your word, would you continue to speak to us, Lord God, and release your glory in a greater way than we've ever experienced before, Lord God. Lord, we want to hear your voice loud and clear. Lord, we want to add the amen to it, Lord God, and then walk in it by faith, live in it by your grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord God. Lord, believing you for what man says is impossible, Lord God, and then giving you all the glory, honor, thanks, and praise. So continue to have your way. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So for however long it goes, and I don't expect it to go an hour and a half, that was a joke. Just want to speak about it will not end in death. It will lead to glory. It will not, and it, what do you mean, what's it? Well, what is it? What is it for you today? What is it in your life? What are those things? It will not end in death. It will lead to glory, and I believe even greater glory than we've ever seen before. We should all be familiar with this passage of Scripture. Jesus is in a certain place, he's one place, and he receives news from the sisters of Lazarus, Martha and Mary. The message was, "The one you love is sick." That particular love, the Greek word for that particular word translated love is phileo. And it speaks about a relational love, a friendship love. And affection from person to person. In other words, we know of agape love, and we'll get to that in a moment, but we can just think, well, yeah, Jesus loves everybody. God loves everybody. Yes, he does, but he loves you in particular. He loves you in particular. He loves you especially. He likes you. He made you. Believe it or not, he made me. And I'm jumping around. I like that. He made my hips, and he made my new hips out of titanium. But he created everything, and then he made a human being able to put these in my body. Could he have just made new bones? Yes, he could have. We don't always understand exactly how things unfold, but we should understand God loves us. He always has our best interest in mind. He always has the greatest plan. He always knows what to do. And let me just get back to that for a second. He likes you. Ellie, he likes you. He likes you so much he sent you to us. Hallelujah. Or should it be he likes us so much that he sent you to us? Yes, on both counts. He made your personality. He wired you the way you are. He gifted you the way you are. He gave you your different intricacies and what else will we call it? Even idiosyncrasies. Now, don't come back and say, Pastor called us idiots. No, I am not saying that. But he made us this way. And he just wants, he made us unique. Am I satisfied with a relationship with only one of my sons when I have four? No. I want all four to come to me. And we enjoy an amazing relationship, but each one is a little bit different. And it's up to us to go to the Father that loves us and just abide with him. Just abide with him. Spend time, just become more like him. Let him pour into us. Doesn't take a whole lot of effort. It just takes some time. I can still remember my father carrying me and rocking me in the Bronx when I was young. I was small at one time, if you could believe it. They used to call me Little Angelo. I've been Big Ange for about 40 years or so, a little bit more than that. But I used to be Little Angelo. I remember just resting on my father's stomach on the couch and enjoying his breathing, his stomach going up and down. And I just remember that, just even thinking, you know, I just love his breathing, and I'm just... The one who you love is sick. And I love Jesus. He just immediately says, this will not end. This sickness will not end in death. No! Man, we gotta say yes to God. And the saying of yes to God means we're saying no to the devil and everything that he brings along and tries to shove into our lives and throw on us. No! 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 To the devil. Preaching to myself. This will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory. So that God's Son may be glorified through it. Ephesians chapter 3, up around verse 20. It might be exactly where it probably is, but there's a little run of scripture there. But it speaks of one of the ways that Jesus receives glory. It's through the church. Who is the church? Is it the building materials here? No. It's you. It's me. He receives glory by us experiencing his glory, carrying his glory, releasing his glory. Hold off on that statement just for a moment. Just to touch upon this. The next verse says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary and Lazarus. And that particular love, there's agape or agapao there, you know. And it's, it's very, very similar to phileo, but it carries with it more of that, just that God kind of love, that unconditional, unfailing love. He loves all that he created, but he loved them in this God love, which is an infinite wisdom kind of love, which is, I know what I created you for in the first place, and I am bringing you to my desired end. And so it says, so he waited there for 2 more days. And everybody can scratch your head right now and say, that doesn't quite add up. You learn that the one that, man, you really like, you have a friendship with, is sick, probably dying, because they sent this message to you urgently. And then we're hearing, hey, you love him, you love Mary, you love Martha, you love the ones that send the message. He had a relationship with them. We read that Mary was the one that so expressed her love for Jesus that she dumped, hallelujah, probably her dowry. She dumped that expensive oil on him and wiped it with her hair, the fragrance of it filling the room where they were. Yet he waited 2 more days before he went. One of the lines in one of the songs that Barry led us in was, sometimes miracles take time. And we heard, we wait. Delay doesn't mean that God doesn't care. Doesn't mean that he's not aware. Doesn't mean that, you know, he's given it to somebody else and doesn't have enough for us, and we need to be jealous that somebody else is being blessed. Delay means greater glory is going to be revealed. That God's working something even greater in us and with the entire situation. That we will experience greater glory and he will be glorified in an even greater way. He waited. How long have you been waiting for whatever? And there may be several things that are on your heart and on your mind this day. I know there is for us. Did you share about Paul? You prayed for a little bit. And right now, I just speak life to Paul Trongoni in the name of Jesus. I speak regeneration of every failing system in his body. We say it's not too late for a miracle. Hallelujah. It's not impossible for God. Hallelujah. Lord, release your awesome power, Lord God Almighty, throughout his body. Lord, touch the family. Lord, that they would just believe, Lord God. Lord, not what their eyes see, Lord, but what your word says, Lord God. What you've demonstrated, Lord God Almighty, over the years. The sickness will not end in death, or whatever it is, whatever those things are that may be in delay right now, maybe causing pain, discomfort, maybe even some anxiety, some worry. You're believing the worst. And then does God, doesn't he care? Doesn't he see? Doesn't he know? When? Even this revival that we're expecting, hallelujah, delay means greater glory. It's going to break, hallelujah. And it will be greater than we ever imagined, greater than we've ever asked. Hallelujah. Greater than we've ever seen. It will not end in death. Sickness will not end in death. Guess what? Even dying doesn't end in death. After a couple of days, Jesus says, all right, let's go back to Judea. And they go. And they find that Lazarus was indeed dead. Because he went back to a place where people were trying to kill him. Because they were jealous of him, because he had the real thing. He was a man sent from God. He was the Son of God. He was releasing something that the religious people had, She's had no idea, and they're opposing it instead of receiving it. Hallelujah. Jesus said there's 12 hours of daylight. Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble. Hallelujah. Jesus is that light. But they found that Lazarus had fallen asleep. He had died. He told that to his disciples, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe. Let's go to him. Hallelujah. Again, it's that thing, it's like it doesn't make sense to the natural logic and to our natural understanding and to the way we add things up and view things and to our perceptions. He says, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I'm glad, so that you may believe. Believe what? Nothing's impossible for God.
Come on.
And death has no power over the believer. Jesus gets there. Martha runs to him first. Says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She gave up. I think Bonnie was speaking about not giving up, and the Lord really put this on me heavy. Let's give up on giving up.
Yeah.
We got to give up on giving up those things that we haven't seen manifest yet. And giving up on anything. Not giving up on sons that aren't serving God right now. I'm not giving up on my cousin that for all the eye can see is on his deathbed right now. Not giving up on seeing just the revival of God and the great harvest of souls and our city being transformed. I'm not giving up on it. Last time I checked, God's on the throne.
Amen.
Jesus is raised from the dead. He's ascended on high. He's poured out the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He ever lives to make intercession, saving to the uttermost them that are perishing. Hallelujah. He's still pouring out his Spirit on all flesh, on men and women. Hallelujah. Sons and daughters, young and old, men and women. And he's got greater glory ready to unleash than has ever taken place in the history of mankind or the church. We don't want to wait. There is that tendency to give up, and sometimes it's easier. It's easier. I can't carry this anymore. Well, let him carry it. Believe his word. Speak his word over your life. Speak his word over your situation. Say that no to the devil.
That's
right. No to giving up. What does the word of God say? Outwardly we're wasting away, but inwardly we're being renewed daily on a daily basis. That has to be true for our life. It's available to us, and we need to tap into it. Otherwise, stuff will just continue to wear us away, inside and out. It's bad enough that outwardly we're wasting away. We need to be renewed inwardly. Inwardly, we are being renewed daily. And these light and momentary afflictions, and these afflictions never seem light, and they never seem momentary, but the Word of God says that's what they are. And guess what they're doing? They're achieving for you an eternal glory that outweighs them all, running for the first time in the mighty name of Jesus. Just a momentary thing. Oh, it'll bless you in the here and now, but it will have eternal impact. And it'll be with you forever. Every second is important. I shared this with my cousin. My cousin Paul's bed, I shared it with his sister. I said, every second's important. You don't know what's going on. His son is still en route from State College, Pennsylvania. I know Paul's hanging on till at least then. I still want to see him jump off that bed. But you don't know what's going on. And with everybody gathered in that room, there's a love, there's a strength, there's prayer, there's faith, there's songs. I sang several songs to him. I didn't care who was in the room. Now I need new lungs. I can run. Now I need some more oxygen. Al, how are the finances? Can we install an oxygen tent over here? Take the lights away. Let's get oxygen here. There's oxygen in this water bottle. Crowns that we'll wear. Just even position, not that it's about position. But everything that we do here, everything that happens, if we're walking by faith, is a greater glory that not only is for this time, but it's forever. It's an eternal weight of. So we have eternal impact in the things when we're walking by faith, when we're saying no to the devil and yes to God, and walking in it by faith, there's a glory that's being unleashed now, but there's an eternal glory that's increasing. It's increasing. It's increasing. We all say greater glory. Lord, reveal your glory. Nobody seems to want to go through the stuff that brings the greater glory. Jesus said, he's dead, and for your sake I'm glad, so that you can believe. I think sometimes we're not going to believe unless we see something that just blows our mind happen right before our very eyes. Waited 2 days. And he said, I'm glad he's dead. Mary had given up, but you know, sometimes we say the right thing. I get the feeling, I'm sorry, Martha. And please, God forgive me if I'm attributing this to Martha in a wrong way. But you know, I've said it, and I've heard, you know, sometimes we just say the right thing, even though it's really not, you know. We don't want to say the wrong, we don't want to say what we're really feeling, so we say what we know is right. And she said, if you'd have been here, you wouldn't have died. What you really want to say is, what took you so long? Didn't you get my message? I texted you, why didn't you answer? I left 3 voicemails. Why? What am I, chopped liver here. Then she said, but I know that even now the Lord will give you whatever you ask. Well, maybe it was just the presence of Jesus showing up. And when she saw him again, she realized, you know, I was foolish to give up. He's here now. He can. If I believe that he could heal him, why not believe that he could raise him from the dead?
That's right.
It's no more difficult. And Jesus said, your brother will rise again. Merle, wherever you are, your brother Ken will rise again. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Jesus. Thank you.
What's your sister's name again, Ruthie? Sorry, I'm... Lorraine. Lorraine, don't give up. Hang on. Lay hold of Jesus. Lay hold of eternal life. Still got something to live for. The best is yet to come. Your brother will rise again. He died. But even dying doesn't end in death when Jesus is concerned. When Jesus is concerned. When he's in the equation. When we believe him. And then he asked her, do you believe this? Where is it? Is that later on? Could be later on. No. He declared who he was. I am the resurrection and the life.
Yes.
The one who believes in me will live, even though he die. And whoever lives believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? And that's a question for the church for right now about everything the Word of God says, about everything God promised, about everything that God has intended for the church. Do you believe this? Do we believe it? Do we believe the Word of God, or do we believe all the junk that everybody else is saying and everything our natural eyes can see? And if we believe this, boy, we need to act on it. And we need to speak it. And we need to pray, proclaim it in prayer. And we need to preach it. We need to plant it in people's lives. We need to prophesy this into dead ones, into dry dead bones. Hallelujah. Into those who are darkened, into those who have given up or are on the verge of giving up or think that it'll never happen for them. Oh, God loves everybody else, but he doesn't love me. Yeah, he did. I tried Jesus. No, you didn't! And let me tell you, don't just try Jesus. You surrender to Jesus. You give yourself to Jesus. You go all in with Jesus because he's gone all in with us. And you don't let him go. No matter what happens. Because even if we die, we weren't meant for this anyway. We were created for eternity. We were created to live in his presence forever and ever and ever. We get the privilege of impacting the world for eternity by living Christ here and now. We get the privilege of being part of this redemption plan, gathering the harvest, representing Jesus in other people's lives. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? And Mary shows up on the scene. Leads him to the tomb. Where have you laid him? Jesus sees her weeping. He sees the others. They're weeping, and he was deeply moved. And we read the verse of scripture, Jesus wept. He was deeply moved. I think this was part of the heart of what you were sharing as well, Bonnie. cares. He cares. He feels what you're, he's felt what you're feeling. He's not unaware of the stuff. He's not unaware of how it affects us as well. And he wants us to just receive from him everything he has for us. All the grace we were singing, we approach boldly, we approach the throne. It speaks about we can boldly approach and receive mercy and grace. Well, whatever it is, for whatever it is, in our time of need, we go and we get it. It's available, a never-ending supply.
Maybe I am going for an hour and a half. I don't know. I'm going to run around the church a couple more times. But Jesus is moved. Hallelujah. Man, he cares. He loves you and he loves you. But if there's delay, even if there's death, he's got something great planned. Hallelujah. Sickness will not end in death. Dying will not end in death. The grave will not end in death. Even when you're tucked away behind a big stone or under a bunch of dirt in some vault or some wooden box or whatever, it still doesn't end in death. Still leading to glory. When I do funerals at a graveside in a cemetery, I say, this is a launching pad right here.
Yes.
Hallelujah. This is a launching pad. We are sowing a seed imperishable that will be raised imperishable. Hallelujah. When Jesus comes back in the twinkling of an eye, wow! Hallelujah. Those that have died in Christ will meet him in the air. When we all, oh, what is it? I'll fly away, oh Jesus, I'll fly away. It's the first time I can do this on one leg. We're trying them all today. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. You know it? Well, I'll fly away. And I'm doing the harmony there. Let's move on, otherwise we'll never end. The grave will not end in death. I love when Jesus says, take away the stone. Nothing had changed. Lazarus is dead 4 days. He's decomposing. Mary said, Lord, he stinks. Death smells, man. Death stinks in more ways than one. God never intended us for death. Never intended for us to experience death. But praise be to God, we don't have to experience the sting. There is no sting in Jesus. There's no victory. Death has no victory. The grave has been swallowed up in victory. Death has been swallowed up in victory. That's 1 Corinthians 15, 54. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Because he's the resurrection and the life. He's the living one. He has power over it all. Take away the stone. Sometimes we just need to take away something that's blocking the way of the glory of God being unleashed. And sometimes we may need to discern what is it? What is it that's blocking the way? Take it away. Roll away the stone. Hallelujah. Jesus say here, let's read that. Should be good. By this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Oh, Martha said that.
Sorry, Martha. And Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you read your Bible every day and you do this and if you go to church all the time, and not that these are bad things, if you believe the Assemblies of God doctrine or the Hopewell Constitution and bylaws or the traditions of men, if you believe, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? It will not end in death. It's going to lead to glory. We're going to see the glory. Hallelujah. We're going to experience the glory. We are going to carry the glory. We are going to release the glory. We're going to see ever-increasing glory. Hallelujah. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. They took away the stone. Jesus looked up. He said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Boy, there's a good thing for us to have in our spirits. When we pray and we ask the Lord for something, if we being evil sinners know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? I knew that you always hear me. Hallelujah. He always hears you. I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. You know, it's important to do. Jesus did stuff the way he saw the Father doing it. And we can wonder why he did this then and this the other way. And sometimes he healed a blind man one way, sometimes another way. You know, sometimes he touched them, sometimes he spoke. He was led by the spirits. And we're people of the spirits. And if we'll just follow, be obedient to the Spirit, hallelujah, people will believe that the God we say we follow, hallelujah, is God, that we have what we say we have, that he is who we say he is. Yeah. When he said this, he called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Lazarus, come out. Hallelujah. I love that. And you've probably heard it preached. I've heard it preached. It was important that he said, Lazarus. Otherwise, every Tom, Dick, and Harry would have came out of there. And there wouldn't have been enough food. He would have had to do a multiplication of loaves and fish again. No. I want to read some verses from John 5. What? What is for lunch, by the way? John 5:24. Very truly I tell you, this is Jesus, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged. He has crossed over, or but has crossed over from death to life. Man, it's time to cross over. Have we indeed crossed over, or do we like cross back too many times once we've crossed over? I think we do. Vacillating between being a man or a woman of the Spirit of the Word of God and a carnal person that lacks faith. Then he says, very truly, I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Hallelujah. Wonder what it was like for Lazarus. It's a question we have to ask, I guess. How did his voice sound? I don't know. He heard it. He heard his name being called. Hallelujah. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. In himself. Stop. The inflection was wrong there. Just feel, you know, the Holy Spirit wants to drive this deep in us today, always, but today. That we're Christ in this world, in a sense. You know, as the church, as believers, as those he's redeemed, we've crossed over from death to life. We're living in the life of Jesus, and we have the privilege of being the voice of God, so to speak, into other people's lives, into situations that seem hopeless, into people that have despair in their life. You know what I'm talking about here? We need to be the voice of God. We need to speak what God's saying. We have an authority, God. His word carries authority. We have authority in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We have an anointing that comes from God to speak into situations that look like death all over the place and release the life of Jesus. His word is powerful. It's life. We have the life of Jesus in us. We've shared the scripture before, maybe even last week or a couple of weeks ago. You know, there's a well, there's a river of living water. His Holy Spirit that flows out of us. It's the life of Jesus. We can touch situations and just trust God. I need to wind down here. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. Lazarus came out of that tomb, full view of everybody. Hallelujah. To the joy of Martha and Mary, I'm sure to the delight of everybody, and to the dismay of the religious folks that were jealous that their voice meant nothing anymore. That people were running after Jesus and not them. They again were going to try to kill him and even kill Lazarus again. The poor guy, all he did was get raised from the dead. I died once. I got, you know, I mean, give me a break here. Let me have lunch before you kill me. Hallelujah. But he came out and Jesus said, take off the grave clothes. And I just, again, I believe. The Holy Spirit wants to say loud and clear today, it is time for the church to take off the grave clothes of unbelief. Take off the grave clothes of religiosity. And recognize we are the righteousness of God. We release righteousness. Nobody likes religion. I mean, I don't know. I guess I did when I was going to church and doing my religion, you know, religious observance. It's okay if it's real, you know, I mean, but when it was like you have to go every Sunday, otherwise it's a sin. When that was the doctrine that I grew up in. We had stuff called holy days of obligation. How's that for life-giving? Holy days, but I'm playing baseball. No, you gotta go to church. Okay, but jeans are ripped. Sorry, you gotta look like a fool because it's a holy day of obligation. No, it's the day of salvation. It's the time of God's favor. It's a day for rejoicing. Hallelujah! Oh, the Son of God is raised from the dead. Sickness doesn't end in death. Death doesn't end in death. The grave doesn't end in death. Hallelujah. If we believe, we see glory, 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 glory. And we experience that glory forever and ever. But we get to experience it now. We get to release it now. Hallelujah. We need to take off the grave clothes of giving up.
rather than pressing in and pressing forward and saying no to sickness and death. No to dead religion. No to poverty. No to despair. I mean, I love Isaiah 61. Man, he's anointed us to preach good news to the poor. Hallelujah. To declare the recovery of sight. Hallelujah. Release all of these things. Then it says, to comfort those who mourn. But it says to bestow a crown of beauty instead of ashes. The oil of joy instead of mourning. A garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. This is the day of instead of, hallelujah. Instead of all the junk that the devil is throwing on people, we need to rip it off for the authority of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Philippians 3:10. Paul said, I want to know the power of the resurrection. Oh, by the way, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. Because that's nothing. It's nothing. Romans 12 says, I'm sorry, 8 says it too. The present sufferings are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed. And again, that's not just off in the far off when we fly away. It's right now when we walk by faith, when we're released as the sons and daughters of God. Because all of creation and everyone in it is waiting for it, longing for it, eager for it. The devil's trying his best to stop it from happening. And we need to break through into it. Roll away the stone. Hallelujah. Believe and we'll see the glory of God. If you can stand up, let's stand up. Barry, if you want to come up, you can come up. End my message. How does my message end? Here. It will not end in death. Hallelujah. Death has come to an end in the name of Jesus. Death has ended.